The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Did you enjoy giving birth? Did you enjoy being pregnant? I hear people say this all the time. I love being pregnant. I love giving birth to my children. It was such a beautiful experience. Who are you? 877-730-DCS1. I saw this story and I couldn't believe it. Ashley Blair went into labor on April 24th on a flight from Atlanta to Portland. And
that's a long flight right there.
A long flight. And she was 2 weeks away from her due date. No doctors on board. So Tina Fritz is an EMT. She helped deliver baby Brielle Renee on the plane in the aisle in front of everybody. This is all I can think about. The entire time I'm thinking to myself, everybody's got to watch this? No. Because I did not like...
With no pain medicine?
Nothing. This baby was born there in the aisle with little help. The EMT said the mom did such a great job. They used blankets that they borrowed from passengers to wrap the baby up. They used a shoelace from the flight attendant to tie the umbilical cord. There was nothing on board. And the mom posed for a selfie after. What are we doing here? I just remember.
I mean, if I'm not getting a drink, I better get a selfie.
I need some wine. I don't even drink, and I want shots after this. I just remember being on the birthing table, and I did not like it. It is not comfortable. I remember the first time when I had my first daughter, Kirsten, the doctor said, "Do you want a mirror?" I said, "Hell no. Why would I want to see that?" Like, no, nothing about it,
in my opinion,
is beautiful.
I got to see it when you had Ava.
Yeah, and you were like in shock too.
My initial reaction was, "What is that?" And the doctor said, "That's your child." And I said, "Oh."
Dana, when you were in labor, which one of your daughters took the longest?
Oh, Stasia, my middle child. It was 27 or 20, close to 28 hours. Whoa. No pain medication.
And Stasia still is the most work.
She really is. She really is. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Taryn.
Taryn, did you love giving birth, or was it just kind of awkward, too?
I wouldn't say I loved giving birth. That's hurt. I also did it with no pain medication. But I did really love being pregnant. I think some people, my body felt better. I didn't have as much aches and pains. That sounds really weird, but my chemical balance was different. I don't know how to explain it. I think some people just get lucky that way.
Yeah, I was not lucky. Yeah, but I do. When you said that, I have a girlfriend whose mom, so she was one of 13. And she said, mother, I know, girl, but she said my mom felt better pregnant. She would get seizures. And when she was pregnant, she would not have them.
Oh.
So your hormone, I mean, think about it, we're making a baby, like we're making a life. Hormones change. And just like you just said, for some reason for her, she felt better. I'm like, I guess 13 children later, I guess.
Oh, my God. Well, TMI, like I wear like aluminum-free deodorant, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to find one of those that is right.
Yes.
I've had to go through several. But when I was pregnant, I had no issues with any of them.
Really?
So Dana has that problem too.
Yeah, it's weird. I have a weird pH too. Yeah, I have a weird pH as well. I can't wear perfume. We are getting way too
We're getting into the weeds here.
So, but let me ask you something. Was it just me, or I know this may sound too much info. I was embarrassed. I hated being there in those stirrups, and everybody's just in and out of the room. And I'm like, why am I doing this?
I mean, I wasn't in the stirrups. I did a water birth.
So, oh, beautiful.
It was a little different, and the water did feel better. Oh, I don't know. I have nothing to compare it to, but it felt better from being outside of the water.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I was in so much pain that I really didn't care.
You're like, whatever. Come in, come out. Just get this baby out of me. Oh, I know, because with my first child, I had no pain medication. My second child, no pain meds. And when I had Ava Maddock, our daughter, Otto and I are married, the nurse asked me, what are you doing? Like, what are you trying to prove? And I said, I don't know. She said, get the spinal, what is it called, the epidural. So I did, and I was like, God, why didn't I do this the first 2 times? It was so crazy.
I have nothing against the pain meds. I think it was my first experience, my only experience. I really wanted to experience it.
Yeah.
My mom did it a home birth. I didn't want to do the home birth, but I did the water birth at the center, and I would do it again. I would do it the same way.
I've heard so many women say that the water birth experience is lovely. And I mean, if you really think about it, we used to just go squat.
Yeah.
Have our children, pick them up, tie up the umbilical cord, and keep it moving.
She said a key thing right there, though.
What?
She said the insurance was a big deal. I wonder how much money this woman saved by having that baby on the plane.
Nothing. They're going to finagle her way into a bill. She's going to have to go to the hospital. They're going to say it costs la, la, la more. Well, she was on vacation in the Dominican. She should have had the baby there. It would have been free.
Aunt, let me tell you something. When you have a baby, that security guard will not let you leave the hospital unless you pay that bill. That guy was like, he was like blocking me to get to the elevator. I was like, I'm just going to get the car seat, but I'm going to pay the bill. Don't worry.
Let me tell you something. I'm not having a baby.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Nelly was hit with an assault charge last year, and I have an update on that. Court docs are out. Before, though, Anthony, let's get celebrity birthdays.
We have Tim McGraw celebrating his birthday, and from the Hype House, super influencer Charli D'Amelio celebrating her birthday.
Nelly last year was at a casino in Missouri, and he had charges filed against him for allegedly assaulting a security guard. And he's seen throwing some trash and stuff. Well, they have reached a settlement, and that has been dropped.
Okay.
Okay, the charge has been dropped. Now, he was hit with a fine for littering. He must pay $750, but other than that, he's free and clear, which I'm very happy to hear about. He's a father. He got Ashanti. You know, he's got his baby.
So what, did the security guard call him out on littering or something, and there was an incident?
No, there was an alleged assault that has been...
dismissed.
Well, obviously, they came to some agreement. I'll repeat myself again.
Well, it was confusing, so he must have paid him out. That's what you're saying.
I don't know, but that's, you know what? It's been done. So
you're
what's
assuming.
Done is done. I'm assuming that that's what it is. Nelly, though, it's been a minute, said something very interesting. Because we talked to Ludacris last week. We just talked to Ludacris. And I said, Luda, I definitely think you're one of the top five. Like, you get dismissed a lot. Nelly mentioned this a while back. He's like, you know why me and some of the others don't get mentioned during that era? Because there was so much good hip hop. We had to go against Jay-Z, Eminem, 50 Cent, Dr. Dre. Like, it was...
DMX.
DMX. Mm. Do you agree? Is that why Nelly and even somebody like a Ludacris gets left off of the top MC list?
It's so subjective, but me personally, no. Neither one of them would be in my top five.
What are you talking about? Ludacris has some of the craziest lyrics of all time.
And yeah,
Nelly,
that's what
had
I said. It's
one
subjective.
Of the biggest careers.
They're not in my top five. They're not in my top 10, but they might be in yours.
Yeah, I don't agree with Nelly's assessment of, like, it was different then than it is now, because the rate that you have to release music nowadays is so much more than you had to do it back then.
Yeah, and what Nelly's talking about, that era was one of the biggest moments for hip-hop. It's when hip-hop broke into the mainstream. And all those people that were underground stars got projected into the mainstream.
It wasn't because they were making great music, though? We're talking about...
They were making... Yeah, they were making great music, but it was new to a lot of people. Mm. You don't understand that? You don't understand that Eminem was, like, changed everything, that he was a white rapper and he made it okay for middle America to embrace it? There was, like, a whole... It was weird. It was different. Like, people... Because remember, I can remember, like, listening to The Chronic as a kid, and people being like, that music's not for you.
I understand what you're saying, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I agree with Nelly. How are you going to go up against those people and just everybody just gets mentioned? Somebody's going to be left off the list. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly, because they were, and like I said before, it's subjective, so it doesn't really matter.
But that's
matter
not respectful for him. He feels disrespected.
Well, I mean...
Nobody ever talks about Nelly.
I would love for people to say I'm one of the best DJs in the world, but it doesn't... Like, it's not happening.
I say it all the time.
Well, and you're Nelly, my wife.
And Nelly goes on tour now and sells out everywhere he goes because the music was out powerful. Exactly.
But he's got a catalog, a great catalog of music. That doesn't mean he's a great rapper. What we're talking...
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, but when you can't put him up against somebody like Jay-Z or Eminem or even DMX, there's no comparison. I'm sorry. Give me one Nelly quotable.
I'm going down, down, baby.
There we go.
It's a quote. You asked me for one. Okay, it's getting hot in her. Okay, you asked me.
Great songs. Great catalog.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
A couple of days ago, I was accused by a woman who lives in our building of stealing her rings at the gym. She comes in, we have a back and forth, management, the front desk, everybody's there looking for these rings. And then she comes back in and tells me, I'm going to have security go through the cameras as if I stole her rings. I asked yesterday. The front desk is like, no, somebody turned him in. Oh. I was being accused for no reason.
And they had been at the front desk the entire time. There was a shift change.
Yeah.
And they didn't. One, the other person didn't tell the other person. And so Dana got accused of stealing for no reason.
Being accused of stealing is hurtful because right away you're thinking, do I look like a thief? Like, why would you think I would take your stuff?
And it's basically calling me a liar when you're accusing me of stealing. And that aggravates me
so much, dude.
And Dan, I got a question. Have you seen the woman who lost her ring since they
found? No, and I'll be honest, I probably could not identify her.
I was going to say, really I don't even know who it is.
I don't either because I don't really. I'm horrible at directions, and I'm also horrible remembering people. For instance,
yesterday in the elevator.
We're in the elevator with this man. I said, hey, how are you? And he's like, fine. And I said, how are your parents? And he looks at me a little crazy. And he says, they just got back from Honduras. I was like, oh, Honduras, I've never been. And then he gets out on floor 12. And I said, Otto, I thought that was someone else. He's like, yeah, I was wondering, how do you know that man?
I kept thinking, I was like, man, Dana knows everybody in the building.
I don't know who he was. So, no, Anthony, no, I don't know. I might have seen her. And
I'm going to tell you right now, the man that she thought she was talking to, he's like from Boston and has this thick white guy Boston accent.
This
guy was from Honduras, who looked like he was from, and I was like, they don't even look alike. What are you doing?
Anyway, so if you steal from me, you're going to get away with it. Because I won't be able to identify.
Oh my God. God bless that Honduras man who just had to sit there and be investigated during times like this.
I thought he was probably going to call ICE or something.
I swear, he looked like, why are you asking about my mom and dad?
I know. He's like, they just got back from Honduras. They're legal citizens.
He was like so detailed about it. Anyway, I have been stolen from, though. My mom has this beautiful ring, and we come from humble beginnings, so I knew how hard she'd work for this ring. It was gold, had a diamond on it. Like, and one day, I don't know why, my friends and I were like, oh, let's meet up. Do you have something of your parents that's cool? Like, we can show each other. Don't ask me why I took that ring.
Oh.
And we put them down, and everybody's looking at stuff. And then all of a sudden, we go to grab our stuff, and my ring's gone. And I knew who had taken the ring. And I did not know, how do I tell this person, I know you stole the ring? I knew that would start a fight. I started to visibly shake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. When you're 10, 11 years old, you're very afraid of your parents.
I was so freaked out.
Well, why did you take the ring to begin with?
Because it was something I wanted to show off. I thought, ooh, this is so cool. So then the girl who stole the ring obviously felt so badly for me because I was shaking. She flicked her hand, and then she looked down, and she said, oh, look, there's the ring. I was like, girl, I saw you.
At least she had a conscience.
At least she did. But you know what? I didn't even want to confront her because I had a feeling if I'd done it, I wouldn't get the ring back.
Shake and cry is what gets you things back in life. I don't know if that's the right advice to be giving out.
I don't know. But anyway, I got my ring back. You know, I wanted to show it off.
Without confronting your bully.
Yeah.
You have just like a lifelong pursuit of these rings.
What is it with me and rings?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.